Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line. Week 10, not quite in the books. We still have a doozy scheduled for Monday Night Football in the Bay Area, Santa Clara, Levi Stadium, the 8-0 San Francisco 49ers hosting the 7-2 Seattle Seahawks. I'm really excited about this game, as I know many of you are. It was your top option in our football poll, and so we'll get to that Monday night, and of course we'll be here following that game in the NFC West, and a lot of you pointing to that division as the one that kind of blows your mind and isn't anything like what you expected this season through the point at which we are here in the NFL. So much real estate left and so much can still happen. That's why I love the way the season is shaping up, is because there isn't a perfect team, of course. You've got some new candidates stepping up to become contenders, and you also have your weekly doses of reality for those teams that might start to believe their own press. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams. For 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Someone left what feels like a 15-pound bag of candy in our newsroom, and it's taking all my willpower. So Chris gave me a Snickers. It's a fun size, but I think it'd be more fun if it was full size. It's a fun size Snickers, and I'm holding it here in my hand, and I will eat it this hour at some point. My incentive to get my CBS Sports Minute written and recorded. But there is so much candy out there. I already had Starburst and a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup, because I figured that would help me get through this edition of the show. It's got to be 15 pounds. I wish we had a scale so we could weigh it. It's devious. And it's evil. And Tony Romo would love it. And I can't believe someone just brought it here and dropped it off. How many days before you think that 15-pound bag of candy is empty? Just over under. 5 days? Do we know how long it's been here? Because I'm not sure who dropped it off so covertly in our newsroom.
I mean, there's got to be hundreds of pieces of candy in there. And I'm going to go with the under. I think 3 days that thing is
what?
Gone. Wiped out. We got a lot of savages running around here, myself included.
We do. That's true. But you have your own Halloween candy that you stole from your kids.
I did. And I still do. And I still had 4 pieces of candy since I got here.
Oh, my gosh. And you're not bouncing off the walls. Chris, over under 5 days before the bag of candy is empty.
Oh, there are certain unnamed hosts and producers on other shows on this network that I know for
other shows
that will rip through a good majority of that candy.
Oh, my gosh. It's ginormous. And so I'm kind of proud of myself that I've only eaten 2 little packages of candy so far. Oh, my goodness. I hope you had a good weekend, whether it was full of candy, whether it was other food like pizza. I had pizza on Sunday. It was pretty fun to watch football, take my notes, and eat some pizza. Also, put off the yard work. That's right. Clean the inside of the house, but the outside of the house is still, it's nearly buried under leaves. Like, you can almost not tell my house is there because there are so many leaves. And they're not even my leaves. They're blowing in from the other yard across the street, which is, it's okay. There is yard work in my future. There's also more football in my future. So I guess it's a healthy trade-off.
856. Yeah!
Oh, hey, Ed. Oh, that's Coach Ed. Wait, is that Coach Ed or is that someone? Who is that?
That's one Steve Ballmer.
Oh, that's Steve Ballmer.
He doesn't need candy or sugar.
He sounds like Coach Ed Orgeron, though, a little bit. And, of course, Coach O was in the spotlight this weekend. LSU, Alabama, it was the game that you all said you were most looking forward to by 50%. And so I hope it lived up to your expectations. I know that if you're an Alabama fan, it was a pretty painful start to the game. Here's Tua Tagovailoa. He's back out there. He maybe had some, still some residue left over from the ankle surgery, but I think mostly he was rusty. He had not really thrown a football, hadn't, of course, seen any game action in nearly 3 weeks. And so when he dropped the ball inside the 10-yard line, as he's moving toward the end zone on the very first possession, you kind of got the sense that it might be a rougher re-entry than what he expected. So LSU promptly goes the other way for a 92-yard drive, and just as many people predicted about this game, there would be a lot more offense than we've seen in previous LSU-Alabama clashes. So really that first quarter was marred by tied mistakes. There was a muffed punt that led to a field goal. Then there was a penalty that negated an interception off Joe Burrow that was such a massive turning point. So even after Alabama gets on the board with Jaylen Waddle's dazzling 77-yard punt return, it kind of lit up the stadium and got them right back into it. And then Tua had a long touchdown pass. But early on, the way that the Tide just weren't locked in, they weren't as disciplined, to me, that was critical, because you can't give a team as good as LSU an opening and not expect them to take it. And so against good teams, if you make mistakes, they're going to make you pay. And LSU absolutely did that. And so I think even as I was watching the second half along with all of you, and the Tide put together a valiant regroup, I just kept coming back to, you can't spot your opponent. I don't care if it's home or away. It might have been worse if it was away in Death Valley. You cannot spot your opponent 3 turnovers and 17 points off turnovers without paying dearly. So the LSU Tigers did exactly what they needed to do. They answered every charge that was mounted by Tua and the Tide in the second half. In fact, the Tide scored on 4 consecutive drives in the second half. 4 touchdowns on 4 drives. But the Tigers stayed poised. They stayed calm. And I think, again, to know that the Tide was vulnerable, to see the way Alabama started and to jump on those mistakes, that's the best way possible to gain some confidence in what is a really raucous atmosphere and hostile territory. Certainly the second half comeback did not surprise Coach O.
You know, it started coming back, and there was a little 7 route right there that Joe missed. It would have been a touchdown. You know, and, you know, obviously the sack fumble, there was a couple plays that we missed. We just feel like we just couldn't put them away. And Tua got hot, and, you know, they started beating us 1-on-1, made some big plays. But, you know, I always thought that we was going to win the football game.
When you play a team like this, who is a very good offensive team themselves, you know, having the balance on offense so you can control the tempo of the game with your offense is also important. And we just didn't have that consistency in the first half.
There was a big hole there. And while you can imagine what that halftime locker room pep talk, I'm going to use the benign term, pep talk from Nick Saban was like, that wasn't Alabama football. It was the largest deficit of the season for the Tide at one point at 20 points. You knew they were going to come back. Najee Harris, fantastic in the third quarter. And Alabama pulled within 6 points. But because the Tigers had been spotted, those early mistakes and those 17 points off turnovers, they had the advantage. And they had the ability to answer, which they did. Even though they didn't match the Tide in the second half, they already had a cushion. And it was just too big a hole for the Tide to climb out of. So now what happens? LSU, the undisputed number 1 in the Associated Press poll that is released on Sunday. So taking that spot and holding on to that spot. But will it be enough in the playoff rankings? Ohio State had Maryland this weekend. So not a real difficult opponent, though. The Buckeyes did their jobs. Will LSU move to number 1 in the playoff rankings after beating number 3 Alabama on the road? And what happens to the Tide? How far do they slip? They've now lost the ability to control their own path in the SEC West. Not that that's a death knell. I always do that backwards. but they're not in the driver's seat anymore. And what happens to the Penn State Nittany Lions?
There's the kneel down, and Minnesota has knocked off fifth-ranked Penn State. They're going to get the victory bell. They're 9-0, undefeated, and ready for Iowa City next week. The students are rushing the field.
The court, he starts to say. Mike Grimm on Learfield. Yeah, for the Golden Gophers, an incredible atmosphere. And Minnesota also undefeated in hosting Penn State. Before you knew it, though, the Nittany Lions were, they got punched in the mouth. They were behind the eight ball. So their slow start, maybe similar to Alabama's, and Minnesota jumped on it.
We started poorly. We had, in the first half, we had interceptions. We had blown coverages. We had missed tackles. We did not play well in the first half. Yeah, we did not.
James Franklin, head coach of the Penn State Nittany Lions. And so you've got both 3-4 in the playoff ranking. So I know Mike Grimm on the call said fifth-ranked Penn State. But in terms of the college football playoff rankings, the Nittany Lions had edged Clemson. So will we see Clemson jump into the top four? So all of those questions will be answered when the rankings are revealed on Tuesday, and that weekend in college football. It didn't surprise me, I guess, because it seems like every year in November when the first rankings come out, college football gets turned upside down. It's like those rankings bring out the spooky. It's like just it just happens every year because teams can see it. They can see it in playoff form now, the possibilities. And you either have to step up or shut up, one or the other. And so in the case of Alabama and Penn State taking their first lumps in the wake of these rankings revealed, but what an incredible victory for LSU and certainly for Minnesota as well. And we still have got some big games in the rest of this month. Penn State still has to play Ohio State, so we'll see if the Buckeyes can get through undefeated. What about Clemson? What about LSU? Plenty of challenges still on the horizon. We've got our Monday MVP poll up and waiting for your votes on Twitter, After Hours CBS. Also on our Facebook page, you can weigh in there as well. This is strictly from the NFL, though, of course, you can always quote or reply and send your own candidate for Monday MVP. But we've gone with a pair of running backs, a quarterback who can run the football, and one defensive back. So check that out on Twitter and on Facebook, and we'll get back to your calls here. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
It is first down and goal to go at the 3. Now shovel pass inside to Kelce. He lunges for the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City. Shades of the Philadelphia game from years past. It is the shovel pass to Kelce and a 3-yard touchdown at 9:19 to go in the first quarter.
I trusted in those guys, the doctors and the training staff, when they told me I was ready to go. But obviously you want to get out there, get hit. It's just to kind of get yourself settled into the game. I had full confidence I was going to be able to play this game.
Off the field, on the money, and after hours, it's time to talk football with Amy Lawrence.
The voice of Patrick Mahomes back on the field for Kansas City after missing the last two starts and the last 2.5 games. And his numbers, off the chart, certainly worthy of Monday MVP with 446 yards and 3 scores. And the Chiefs were up 9 points early in the fourth quarter, still ahead by 5 with just over 3 minutes remaining. But that, my friends, is not the end of the story. Mitch Holtis with the call on the Chiefs radio network. Yes, great to see the MVP back on the field. I was excited just to watch him out there playing football so soon after dislocating his kneecap and having it popped back in. But Tennessee had a little something-something for the visiting Chiefs in Nashville. And if you thought the game was over with them up 5 by those 3 minutes to go, man, if you missed those last 3 minutes, that may have been the most scintillating action for the Titans all season.
30 seconds to go. Tannehill looking, firing over the middle. Caught. Humphreys 5. Humphreys end zone. Touchdown, Titans. Touchdown, Titans. Touchdown, Titans. Adam Humphreys, 23 yards. And the Titans lead 33-32 with 23 ticks remaining.
It was some kind of incredible final scoring drive for the Tennessee Titans. In four plays, Ryan Tannehill moves them downfield for the 23-yard touchdown toss to Adam Humphreys. And if that wasn't enough, well, then Tennessee still had a little bit of work to do to seal the win.
The Decatur, Georgia native out of the hold of Dustin Colquitt. Set. Block! It's been picked up by Sims. It's blocked by Kalu. Joshua Kalu!
Mike Keith beside himself, as were the fans there in Nashville. That end of the game coming on a blocked field goal of a Harrison Butker attempt. Remember last week, Butker not only hit a 54-yarder to tie the game for the Chiefs, but then won the game with a 44-yarder as time expired. Well, not so much with the kicking this week, because the Chiefs actually had two opportunities there late. They got into field goal position with 90 ticks left on the clock. And the snap goes past the face of the holder. And so he never sees it. He can't really grab it. He kind of throws it into the middle of no man's land and ends up with intentional grounding. Thank you. And so he ends up getting intentional grounding penalty, which then puts the Titans in even better position. So they have a botched snap on a field goal attempt, and then they end up getting one blocked at the end of the game. I mean, this was the Titans' victory. And I think for them, the victory is about not just running the ball, but it's about withstanding the Chiefs. It's about coming back late when they had to. They've had a couple of these dramatic wins. Remember the one against the Los Angeles Chargers? That switch to Ryan Tannehill has given them a steadiness and a leadership at quarterback. So pretty amazing to see what they were able to do on Sunday and what they've done to this point to get back to 500. They're now 5-5. And I know big picture for the Chiefs, this hurts because their lead atop the AFC West is down to just a half game over the Oakland Raiders, but they still have their quarterback on the field again.
Did some good things. He came out healthy. And he'll tell you the same thing. We've all got to do a little bit better, but I was happy with the things that he did for the most part.
Andy Reid, pleased to see Patrick Mahomes back out there on the field, as was I. I'm sure there are a lot of fans who felt the same exact way. But it was a ball-controlled defensive game for the Titans, who have 225 rushing yards as a team. And we've seen this from the Titans multiple times this season. Derrick Henry being the guy that they really turn to. And he is one of our candidates for Monday MVP. So check that out on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on our show Twitter, which is where you're seeing all the photos of veterans that you're sending us. So we're retweeting those from our show account. Thank you so much for that. On Facebook, too, you can weigh in for Monday MVP. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4227. Our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. With a quick way you can save money, switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. Tony is in San Diego. Welcome to After Hours.
Hey, what's up, Amy? How you doing?
Good.
That's good. Do you remember when I called about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago? I made that prediction that the Ravens were going to beat the Patriots.
I get a lot of calls and a lot of predictions, so they don't really stand out. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's okay, but I made the prediction. You know, I loved how the Raven defense stepped up. They put that deflating cheetah, Tom Brady, on the sidelines.
Blah, 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 blah,
For 23 minutes of that game. They controlled 37 minutes of the time of the possession.
Let it go.
I'm just trying to say right now, the Ravens are the best team in the AFC right now. So I wanted to get your opinion as far as that. It seems like last week Marlon Humphrey stepped up on defense and he recovered a fumble, went 70 yards back.
So you don't care about this week's game? You only care about last week's game? Where were you last week when I was talking about it?
What I'm bringing up is to be a good team, you have to be fundamentally sound on all phases of the game, defensively, offensively, special teams. And today they had an 89-yard interception return by Marcus Peters.
Mm-hmm.
Tyus Bowers also picked up the fumble and went, I think, 33 yards for a touchdown.
Yeah, so the rookie Ryan Finley definitely left them a couple of gifts.
Yeah, well, I understand, but right now the Baltimore Ravens, and you can take this to the bank, are the best team in the AFC. And
what does it get me if I take it to the bank exactly?
It's going to bring us another Super Bowl like it did in 2012 when we beat the Patriots and Tom Brady in his backyard 28.
Oh, so now it goes from being the best team in the AFC to winning the Super Bowl. Woo, that was a big leap
I think you may see another reenactment, Amy, of what happened in 2012, the San Francisco 49ers against the Baltimore Ravens. And I think Baltimore's going to end up, I really think Baltimore has the defense to put them in the promised land and to take home another championship like they did in 2000 and 2012.
What's the Ravens' weakness, Tony?
The Ravens' weakness?
Mm-hmm.
I right now, from what I can see, Amy, I don't think they have a weakness. They have Lamar Jackson's running the ball good. Mark Ingram is running the ball good. They're not turning the ball over on offense. They're winning with defense. They're forcing defensive turnovers. They're coming up big on special teams. And right now, I'm telling you right now, I think Baltimore is the team out of the AFC to punch in the Super Bowl. And I think they're going to play San Francisco. You're going to have another Super Bowl, San Francisco 49ers, Baltimore Ravens. And I'm going to make a prediction.
Oh, yay.
They're going to go into Brady's backyard, okay, and like they did in 2012.
Wait, so if they're the best team in the AFC, why are they going to Brady's backyard? Why aren't they hosting the AFC championship?
Why is it? Because to answer your question, Robert Kraft, it seems like he's very, very sneaky when it comes to the NFL officiating crew.
Oh, for heaven's sakes, Tony. No, absolutely not. No. You're not taking your predictions, which are ridiculous anyway, and turning them into a referendum on the referees and Bob Kraft. Knock it off. I'm glad that you're excited. The Ravens are playing well. They've won 5 games in a row, but let's not get nutso. 855-212-4227. That's where you can find me on the phones or on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and also on our Facebook page. And again, thanks so much for sharing the photos of you, veterans in uniform, but also the ones with your family members. I love this. Brandon has a picture side by side with his dad, who was a Marine from 1980 to 2011, and then himself in the Army from 2005 to 2013. Pretty amazing to see. So I love these photos, and I really feel honored that you would share them with me. Evelyn shares a photo of her brother and her niece, Mike and Morgan. And Jonathan shares a photo of his pops going off to Vietnam. Adam shares a picture of his uncle, Marvin Reeves, who served in the Army. Thomas from Desert Storm in 1991. And then Rob, 14 years as a U.S. Army combat medic with 3 deployments to Iraq. These days, I'm a police officer in a small West Texas town. Thank you for the awesome show and the support. No, thank you, Rob. Really good to hear from you. And the photo is very handsome. This is awesome. You guys have got to check out our Facebook page. The post is pinned to the top of our Facebook page. So we made it very much easily accessible there on Facebook. And on Twitter, we're retweeting your photos from our show account, After Hours CBS. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll get back to your calls, back to more of the NFL and the football weekend. It's After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Third down and 8 from the Colts 11-yard line. Balazs the running back. Fitzpatrick back to throw. Getting pressure again. Rolls to his right. Pump fakes. He's going to run with it. He's a 5.
He
touchdown.
All right.
Hoyer, shotgun. Dolphins showing pressure. Here they come out. They back out some of it. Hoyer still on his feet, looking, looking. It's caught.
He's short.
And he's short of the first down. It's Ebron. He'll be about a yard short. The Dolphins will take over on downs and win this football game.
It's a football feeding frenzy. After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Well, you better watch out for the Miami Dolphins. They are coming for you, NFL. Ryan Fitzpatrick, if you wanted to tank, just hear me out for a second here. If the organization wanted to tank, if that was really what the Dolphins front office had as its plan for 2019, then Ryan Fitzpatrick is the wrong quarterback to bring in as your stopgap, as your bridge. Because Ryan Fitzpatrick doesn't tank. Ryan Fitzpatrick goes like a bat out of hell all the time, for better or for worse. He is always working hard, and he hates to lose. And while he often can go up in a flame of a blaze of glory, he's, for better or for worse, a guy who is going to give it everything he's got. And so for the Miami Dolphins, it wasn't just Fitzpatrick. For the Miami Dolphins, who've won two games in a row, they're starting to get used to this winning now.
I think the coaches deserve a lot of credit. I think the players deserve a lot of credit, too. That whole building, just for sticking together.
Let's just say this is one of those ugly games in the NFL. The Colts and the Dolphins, a combined 5 turnovers. It was really more of a war of attrition, 2 for 7 in the red zone. And thank you, Brian Hoyer. All 10 Miami points in the first half coming off of his interceptions. And so the Dolphins have a 10-0 lead at the break, though Indy steadily works back into it. In fact, the Colts take the lead in the fourth quarter after a Fitzpatrick interception. So see, Ryan Fitzpatrick giveth and he taketh away. And so there are a lot of points off turnovers in this one. But then to make up for it, Fitz engineers a pair of field goal drives for Miami around a third interception from Brian Hoyer. Gosh, it was about who would make the final mistake. And as you hear on the call with Jimmy Cefalo on the Dolphins radio network, the Colts are stopped in the red zone to end the game. And Miami celebrates. Now, there was no Jacoby Brissett in this game. It was still Brian Hoyer. So Brissett not quite ready to return. There had been some speculation he might be on the field this weekend. He was not. But now back-to-back losses for the Colts, who, you know, didn't lose a ton of ground to the Texans because the Texans are on a bye this week. But still, this is a game that you look back on and go, oy, that was one we should have won.
Tough loss, tough to swallow, always tough to swallow, even more tough to swallow when we're at home in front of our fans. Also tough to swallow after coming off the loss last week. Just thought we would come out with a little bit more energy.
Frank Reich, the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts, who fall to 5-4 with these back-to-back losses. And so now a full game behind the Houston Texans. The Titans are right there, nipping at their heels at 5-5, which also makes this one a tough loss to swallow. And then the Jaguars on bye this weekend get Nick Foles back. They're at 4-5. So the entire division, the entire AFC South, separated by 2 games. That's it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. It's crazy to think that we're nearly through week number 10, but that's where we sit, my friends, peeps. Coming up next weekend, are you ready to start talking about week 11? I'm not, but CBS makes me do it. It's an NFL on CBS doubleheader featuring a battle between two of the most dynamic QBs in the sport. Once again, we don't get a first name. We just get a last name. When Jackson and the Ravens. If you're going to go by one name, wouldn't it be Lamar? Call me crazy, but I could write these better. This is what... Okay, I'm just going to keep reading. It gets better, you guys. When Jackson and the Ravens welcome Watson and the Texans, OMG! Lamar and Deshaun, if you're going to go with one name. Oh my gosh. Do you think the people who write these watch football? No. I'm going to go with no. I hope they don't get paid per spot. It's followed by New England bracing for another tough road game in Philly. At least that one makes sense. It all starts with JB and the guys on the NFL Today at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on CBS. I guess if I'm not here next show, you'll know why. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. They want to pay me extra. I'll write those promotional announcements. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, take our Monday MVP poll. And also, we're asking you, which division surprises you the most at this point? Because I just told you the AFC South, separated by two games from top to bottom. But how about the AFC West? That's the choice of Ben on Twitter. With all the AB drama this offseason, last thing I expected was Oakland to figure things out. Yeah, pretty incredible the way that they have rallied around one another, but also around their head coach, John Gruden. I've just been so impressed by the way that he has kept that locker room together and the leadership, too. It's not just him. He now has this trust with Derek Carr and calls Carr an extension of him on the field.
Welcome to the club, bro.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Wait, does bro apply to me as well, or can it not apply to a female? It's a question that only Amy Lawrence would answer. Can a female be a bro? Can she? So she's not a bruh. No. This is the moments on my radio show when I reveal how cool I am.
You can be a bro or a bruh, depending on the circumstance.
Okay. Is there a female version of a bro?
No, like, there's no broette or anything like that. It all falls into the same category. You could be a bro.
Okay. All right, I am. I'm a
The guy
bro.
Is drunk.
Anybody who calls me bro would definitely make me wonder if you were drunk. I get called dude a lot, though. Dude, and I get called man. People call up and, oh, yeah, man. In fact, athletes have called me man before, and I mostly laugh. I used to, I don't know if I would not correct them, but I used to think, are they blind? Do they not see? But now I get it's just part of the lingo. Similar to, we have not talked about this on the show, but I'm just going to put this out there because the reaction this got on social media was so dumb. Jimmy Garoppolo saying to Aaron Andrews, "It feels good, baby," was not him hitting on Aaron Andrews on national TV. So following... That's the appropriate reaction, Tony Romo. Following the shoot, it was Thursday Night Football, right? And they moved to 8-0, and Aaron Andrews says to Garoppolo, "How's it feel to be undefeated?" And he says, "It feels real good, baby," or "It feels great, baby." Like, that's just something people say. I say that. It feels awesome. Like, I call people baby. It was not about Aaron Andrews. It was not about him flirting. She's freaking married, so knock it off. She's married to a professional hockey player, for heaven's sake. For people to call that flirting, for people to call that him hitting on her, just annoys the crap out of me. I couldn't believe the reaction. Actually, I could believe the reaction, but it still annoyed me. So, yes, if you call me dude or man or bro or it feels good, baby, in the heat of the moment... I feel like that can be gender neutral.
We have a cut from Jimmy Garoppolo that was just put into our folder, him explaining about the publicity that the Aaron Andrews comment has got, Dave.
He actually had to explain about it?
Yeah, Dave, hit it when you're ready.
Oh, okay.
I didn't expect it to blow up like that.
You think?
Is what it is type of thing. But, I was excited. 8-0, baby.
See? It just flows. 8-0, baby. I mean, I've said that before, and I mean, going back to my basketball days, but even days when I played freaking co-ed softball at my previous network. Yeah, we're undefeated, baby.
Baby.
Exactly. See, come on. It wouldn't have mattered if it was a guy standing there. He was going to say the same exact thing because he was fired up and he was really excited. Do not stir up controversy where there is none, except that's exactly what social media is good for. In fact, that and animal videos may be the only thing that social media is good for. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. check on our Facebook page, where a lot of you are weighing in, not only with your Monday MVP candidates, but also with the divisions that kind of blow you away. Here's another vote for the AFC West. Isaiah says on Facebook, thought the Chiefs would just run away, but I do what almost everybody does, never factor injuries, which is why predictions are lame. There's a lot of reasons why predictions are lame. Chris says Raiders being a half game out of the West. Gregory says the NFC East, a 9-7 team could win the division. Now, here's the deal. I don't believe that's a major surprise, because the NFC East is a soap opera every year. You very rarely have one team that establishes itself as a powerhouse. No, they all kind of drag each other down from the bottom. Going back to, was it 15 when, was it 2015 when the Cowboys drafted Dak Prescott? Or is it 16? Shoot, I get my years all mixed up. I mean, that was a rare occasion in which the Cowboys had this incredible campaign and they were able to grab that top seed in the NFC. It was a 13-3 year, I think. But most of the time, even when you've got a Giants team that continues to lose, and now in this case, the Redskins happen to be even worse than what we've seen from them in the past. But you still don't have any separation at the top, right? So Cowboys and Eagles have the exact same record. But to me, that is pretty much par for the course when it comes to the NFC East. You always have at least two, sometimes three teams that are really close together and battling. Yes. Let's see. Cabro, I wonder if that's his given name, says, hey, Amy, 2 weeks in a row, I was listening to the start of the show while heading home from work where you gave us exciting plays of the Sunday night game. I got home both times feeling like I was there. The excitement, the stress, the wins. Great job, and thank you from here in Toronto. Oh, well, that's a really cool compliment. Thank you so much. Let's see. David says the NFC West, San Francisco being undefeated and Seattle playing well on both sides of the ball. I think that the fact that the NFC West is the only team that has the only division that has three teams above 500, but also the demise of the Rams offense.
Go Rams.
What happened to the Rams offense? It's really been stymied. I know they've got injuries. Every team does. But they still have Todd Gurley, who's healthy. They still have Jared Goff, who's healthy. It's not as though they have no targets. The defense has gotten older. They felt like it had aged badly. And so they started exchanging pieces, made some moves in their secondary. There's been a little bit of transition there. But still the defensive front has been solid. I think the Rams offensive line has a lot to do with it.
Los Angeles Rams be in Los Angeles.
Thank you, Jera. Mr. Jones, excuse me. So the offensive line is an issue for the Rams, to be sure. They've had a lot of moving parts, and there's been a lot of Jared Goff under siege. But Cooper Kupp has been a bright spot. As I mentioned, you still have Todd Gurley, who has a half dozen touchdowns. Just at times, the disappearing act, like in the circus, for the Los Angeles Rams. So to me, that makes the NFC West confusing. It feels real good, baby. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, no, baby.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.